Turn your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. If you don't know where the Genesis is, the first book of the Bible. If you're indexed, you're still way too close, and so you got to move to the right side. Let's start. Is somebody playing with that scale thing? I've seen many bride-to-be running around and preparing for their wedding ceremony and putting out a lot of effort and money and time. And the bridegroom-to-be is thinking, and they're thinking, what's all this fuss is about? And why not spend the money, for the few hours wedding and the reception? Why don't we spend that money for the 61-inch plasma screen TV with the entire football season's subscription from the ESPN with the higher definition? Or maybe preferably NASCAR broadcasting with the surround sound and the stainless steel barbecue grill from Home Depot. We're set, don't we? If you're thinking that, guys, do not express your thought to your woman. If you do that, I guarantee you will spend your lonely time in the hotel lobby all by yourself. Wedding preparation is time consuming, and the ladies are entitled to do so. Just don't go overboard. Now we are going to see the wedding preparation of Isaac. In chapter 21, we study and we found the similarity between Isaac and Jesus Christ. And we found a lot of typology, and also we found a similarity in the birth of Isaac and the birth of Jesus Christ. In chapter 22, we find the attempt sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, and there's a lot of similarity between that and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. You guys remember that? Yes? No? Okay, good. We're going to have a pop quiz after this. We're going to witness this time the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah and marriage between the Church of Jesus Christ and Christ himself. Again, we find the seven similarity. So turn your Bible and to this 24 and verse 1. We will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, our Bible's open, our hearts open to receive your instruction. Let us not be the one who go run before you, but let us be the one who led by you, be guided by you. And someday we will get to heaven. As we sang, we can only imagine. Actually, I cannot even imagine what the heaven looked like. From what we studied in the book of Revelation, it's beyond our comprehension, beyond our expectation. With all of your glory, all of your beauty. Prepare our heart as a bride of Jesus Christ, that we may bring glory to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 24. Now the Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord and the God of heaven and God of the earth, that," and put, would you put number one in the next phrase, please? Entire verse 3 and the remainder of verse 3 and verse 4. "You will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanite dwell among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." Verse 5. And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" And Abram said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. And the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who took spoke to me and swore to me, saying that to your descendant I give this land. I will send his angels before you, and I shall take the wife from my son, for my son from there. And if woman is not willing to follow you, and you will be released from this oath, only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Abraham, at this time, is around 140 years. And before he died, he wanted to make sure that his son have his wife. And by doing so, God is going to fulfill his promise to this Abraham Isaac. Through this lineage, he will bless the entire nation of Israel and the entire world. However, he does not want the Canaanite woman to be his son's wife. And Abraham may want to make sure of that. At the time, during this time, the parents made the marital arrangement for their children. And we are not doing that anymore, so all the teenagers can say thank you, Jesus, now, okay? See, we can pick and choose whomever we desire. However, there is some guideline to it. This is a very wonderful love story. It reveals God is interested in our marriage. Because he's the one who instituted the marriage at the beginning of the creation. There's a two institution God said it will exist. First one is marriage and the family, and then human government. If two of them get shaken, there won't be any good society left over. The foremost importance, the nuclear portion of the society is the marriage. It is no wonder the devil is attacking the marriage. 60% of marriage end up in the divorce court. Because we demand ours over other people's, the other person's. Now, Abraham is a man of faith, and he believed God's word and what he promised to him. So he applying this, what God promised to him, in every way. That's why he said, do not take any other woman other than from my own home country. Listen carefully, please. The more we meditate in God's word, the more truth we will see in his guidance, and the more direction we will receive. Because the example can be found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, he will direct your path. He will not direct your path until you obey. Before you obey, you got to know his word. So if you are looking for his guidance, you got to know the word of God. There is no other way. Are we killing kids inside? Can somebody go inside, take a look at it, please? So we don't butcher all the kids, please. Before we go any further, we must ask ourselves, the reason why Abraham's condition regarding the marriage of his son. Why he said no Canaanite woman will be my kid's wife. Why? Because idolatry of the Canaanite people. Keep your finger right there, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians is right between Galatians and 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14. If you are single, keep this in your heart, please. It's very important. All the teenagers, keep this in your heart. If you are born again Christian, this is a very important thing. Let's read. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with the lawlessness, and what communion has light with the darkness? In other words, Apostle Paul is echoing what Patriarch Abraham is saying. If you are born again Christian, you should not marry, nor you should date non-believers. Because non-believers their idea, their way of living will drag you down to their level. So if you're a born-again Christian, you're looking for a spouse, put this in your heart, please. This is not an option. This is not a recommendation from God. The instruction from our God is very clear for this matter. So please follow. I told you about the similarity between Isaac's marriage, wedding, and the wedding of Jesus Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ. First one I find is Father sent out the helper for the son's bride. Father sent out the helper for the son's bride. Many Bible scholars believe that this is a servant is known as Eliezer from chapter 15. He's oldest, one of the most trusted servants. In Hebrew word, Eliezer means helper. Okay, again, keep your finger in Genesis chapter 24. Let's go to the book of John chapter 14. Some of you guys already know where I'm going with this. Chapter 14 of the book of John. Verse 16, please. It reads, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another what? What does it say to you in your Bible? Helper, isn't it? And he may abide with you forever. Folks, if you have a visitor on Saturday morning who comes to knock on your door and says that they are Jehovah's Witness, and they tend to tell you the Holy Spirit is not a God and is nothing more than force. This is the verse you can direct them. It says clearly, he may abide you with you forever. Who is he? Holy Spirit. And he continues, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither see it, him, or nor do know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Holy Spirit is the only one who dwells with them and will be in them. So God is God the Father sent out Holy Spirit on behalf of Son who dwelled in our heart. And that's what Abraham did. He sent out Eliezer, the guy whose name is a helper, to find a bride for his son Isaac. Let's continue in verse 10. Then servant took the tent of his master's camel and departed, and for all his master's goods were in his hand. He rose and went to Mesopotamia. Would you put the slide on for me, please? Mesopotamia? Slide? Picture? There we go. Thank you. See, way down here, this is a Beersheba. I cannot find the Beer Roy. Is nearby here. So and Mesopotamia is way up in the region there. This is about 900 miles trip. Average camel travels about 20 miles a day. So you calculate, you do the math, how many days it will take for them to travel from down there to up to the Mesopotamia, about 45 days. They didn't have a taxi. They didn't have just hop in your truck and drive your way. 900 miles, you can make it in a couple days. Some of you guys can do that in one day. I know some of you guys can do that one day. I tend to fall asleep within about 20 miles. So if you want to travel with me, just try it. See what happens. Let's continue in verse in 10, Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Verse 11, he made his camel kneel down outside of the city by the well of water at evening time. The time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success to this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, let it be that the young woman to whom I said, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she said, drink, and I will also give your camel a drink. Let her be the one who you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown the kindness to my master. Essentially, what this Eliezer is doing is asking God to guide him through the providential circumstance. This is not such a bad way to ask, find out God's will. However, it's not the way to do it. Because we have a tendency to looking at the circumstance. God says, yes, this is my will. And if you don't like it, we say, that's not what God wants. We come up with an excuse. And even if that's the place when God says, this is not the will, this is my will, don't take it. But if we desire, we try to justify. So what is the best way to find out God's will? This is my idea. And I believe this is right. The right way to do it is read the word, find out what God wants in that kind of situation. It may not say exactly, a lot of times exactly. Or you may receive the godly counsel from godly people. Never to ask good counsel, never to expect a good godly counsel from the non-believers. Most cases, you won't get it. So find out the godly counsel from godly people. And sometimes you just have to step out in faith after a lot of prayers. This Eliezer was not making a situation easy for somebody to just pop and become that person. He's not making those rules as he go along. He just stacked the deck against this woman do the things almost next to impossible. Why? Because any woman can carry the pitcher on their shoulder. However, not every woman willing to give water to 10 camels. One camel usually drink about when the tank is empty. They drink about 20 gallons of water. So you do math. 200 gallons of water. Pick up the water from the well and bring it to the trout and dump that thing in the trout. 200 gallons of water. That's a lot of water, folks. Especially when it's a woman. Let's continue in verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled up her pitcher, and came up. And the servant went to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hands and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camel also, until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. The men who were wondering at her and remained silent so as to know whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camel had finished drinking that the man took the golden nose ring and weighing half shekel, and the bracelet for her wrist and weighing the 10 shekels of gold. By the way, guys, the teenagers, you want to find any reference for your body piercing, this is the only place you'll find. I don't recommend. By the way, if you want to do body piercing, just come see me. I'll use my staple gun. And whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and the room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Yes, sometimes God answers prayer before you even finish our prayer request. Sometimes he doesn't. He says, wait, for a long, long time. In following the Lord Jesus, we must led by the Spirit of God, not driven by our own selfish impulse or ambition. Did you get that? We should not be driven by a selfish impulse or ambition, but we should be led by the Holy Spirit. If we want to get the things, anything done right, that's the best way to do it. Yes, obviously the Rebecca is a drop-dead gorgeous woman like my wife Karen. Just in case you don't know where she is, she's over there. She's blushing. As Rebecca began to hard work and watering camel, this Eliezer is sitting there and watching her, not stopping her. What he's doing is watching her if she's the kind of person who says what she does. I understand. She's the one who does what she says. So ever since I became a born-again Christian, I found out that there are a lot of people who said they will serve God. You know what they do? A lot of them follow God and serve God. I still have that privilege and honor to work with many great Christians who serve God in this church, across America, and around the world. I know them well, and I'm privileged. However, there is a lot of people who also say they will serve God with their lips, and they don't serve Him, and they don't serve the body of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're not serving, let me tell you this, you are the one who is missing out. You are the one who is missing out all the blessing God stored for us. In whatever the capacity, whether it's a nursery or it's playing in the worship team or just simply cleaning up the place or moving in and out, helping us. If you're serving, great. You are storing your treasure in heaven. If you don't, you're missing out. I feel sorry for you. Let's continue in verse 28. So the young woman ran and told her mother and household these things. So Rebecca had a brother whose name is Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and a bracelet on her sister's wrist, as when he heard the word of her sister Rebecca saying, "Thus this man, the man spoke to me." At that, he went to the man. There he stood by the camel at the well. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared a house and a place for camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camel and provided straw and feed for the camel, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, and he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, "Speak on." Verse 34, he said, would you put the number 2 and on the line, numbers all the way to the verse 36, please? "I am Abram's servant, and Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great, and he has given him flocks and herd, silver and gold, a male and female servant, and a camel and donkey. Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made my swear, saying that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son." And I said to my master, "Perhaps this woman will not follow me." But he said to me, "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angels with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family, from my father's house. You will be cleared from this oath when you arrive among my family, if they will not give her to you. Then you will be released from this oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand at the well of the water. It shall come to pass, and in that when virgin come out to draw water, and I will say to her, 'Please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink.' And she says to me, 'Drink, and I will draw for your camel also.' Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." But before I have finished speaking in my heart, there was a Rebecca coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. She went down to the well and drew water, and I said to her, "Please let me drink." She said, as she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give you your camel a drink also. And so I drank, and she gave her camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. I put nose ring on her nose and the bracelet on her wrist. I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, God of my master Abraham, who had led in the way of truth to take the daughters of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Second similarity I find is that the witness of servant. Please note that servant is not bragging about him, his position in this Abraham's home. He doesn't say, yeah, I'm the chief operating officer of the Joe Millionaire Foundation. He didn't say that, but he talked about the richness. He talked about the majesty of Abraham's family. Just like the Holy Spirit never brag about himself. He always point finger to where? To the cross, to the Jesus Christ. Bring people to cross. The servant is gave a token of master's wealth, nose ring and bracelet, two bracelets. And the rest of them is for Rebecca to say yes and to take. That's just like that. We as the bride of Jesus Christ, we receive salvation. That is a great rich coming from Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. However, the rest of the rich is still waiting for us in heaven. The servant's job is not to argue or to bribe Rebecca to take the position of wife of Isaac, but encouraging her. Just like that, Holy Spirit is the one who tells us, giving us the conviction in our heart that we may receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We will talk about this Laban's character later. He is a regular con man. He is very cunning. He didn't come out to meet this guy, the Eliezer, because he wanted to extend his hospitality. He came up because he saw the richness of this guy. Let's continue in verse 50. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the things came from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abram's servant heard this their word, he worshipped the Lord and bowed himself to the earth. Then servant brought out the jewelry and of silver and jewelry of gold and clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave a precious thing to her brother and to her mother. And he and the man who were with him ate and drank the state all night. Then they rose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. He said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way and sent me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Verse 58, then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, put number 3 on the line, I will go. So they sent away Rebecca, her sister, their sister, and her nurse, and Abram's servant, and his man. They blessed Rebecca and said, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Similarly, number 3, response of the bride-to-be. Simple and clear-cut. Just as the servant should not delay his petition earlier, nor he wants to delay his mission from the completion. He said he want to go now. And the servant asked, when the servant asked, Rebecca said, I will go. Folks, that is for us to do. Whenever Holy Spirit prompts in our heart with conviction, instead of saying, I will decide later. Instead of that, we should say, right now, I will do what you said. What is giving up our worldliness to receive salvation or from the backslidden position to returning back to God. Whatever the Holy Spirit convicts us is good for us. We must obey them right away. So what motivated Rebecca to make a right decision? Was it richness or the proof of greatness? She found out, she realized there's far more, and she's realized this is in the hands of God. If you tend to fight with God, you're a fool. If I fight against God, I'm a fool. Because God is always right. Whenever we fight with somebody, argue with somebody who is always right, that proves that we are wrong. When God convicts us, as I said before, as Rebecca said, I will go, I will do, right on the spot. A decision of faith based on the evidence provided by the Holy Spirit through the word and the witness of the church and the sinners who delayed in danger and losing opportunity to belong to God's family and live in heaven. Hebrews 3, 7. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Some of you guys know this by heart because it's so important verse. Therefore, Hebrews 3, 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today you will hear his voice. Hebrews 3, 7. This is the key point. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. If you're going through that turmoil because you are fighting against God, stop. If you have an ear, hear what the Spirit says and do not reject him in rebellion. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Never tomorrow, never later. Always now is the time to do what God says. Let's go back to chapter 24 of Genesis, verse 61. Verse number four in chapter 61, please. Then Rebekah and her maid rose, and they rode on the camel, followed the man. And so the servant took Rebekah and departed. Verse 62. Now the Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And number five, there's a similar in number five. Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw the Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. For she had said to a servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? Servant said, it is my master. So she took the veil and covered herself. Similarly, number six, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. The servant, Isaac, brought her into the mother Sarah's tent, and she took Rebekah. And similar in number seven, she became his wife. He loved her. So the Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Similarly, number four is trusting her groom without seeing him. Rebekah never met Isaac. She doesn't know him from Adam. However, she trusted what Eliezer said, and she trusts to go to this land, way down in the Canaan land. She went there. Folks, we don't see Jesus Christ. We've never seen him. We don't even know what he looked like. If he walked in through that door, we wouldn't know him. If he dressed up in blue jeans and, you know, just normal polo shirt. Why do we believe whom we don't see? Because that is the faith. That is the faith that God gave us. That's the faith Holy Spirit prompts us to have. Similarly, number five, the groom had the ministry of prayer while bride is coming. Folks, remember this portion in the Bible and the New Testament? The ministry Jesus Christ has right now, intercessory prayer. He's sitting right hand of the Father, interceding for us, interceding for the saint, while we preparing ourselves, sanctifying ourselves each day, be more like Jesus Christ. So we are on the way to Him, and He's praying for us. Similarly, number six, servant successfully fulfilled his duty to bring the bride to the groom. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. He is sanctifying us. He is sealing us with His power and will deliver us to the Jesus Christ in heaven. Similarly, number seven, bride became His wife and groom loved her. Yes, Rebecca received a few gifts in advance. That was nothing more than deposit and down payment of the Eliezer. And just like that, Holy Spirit is the down payment and the deposit for us salvation. And we will receive all the riches that God stored for us. Why? Because we are the joint heir with Jesus Christ in heaven. Let's make an application. Number one, the more we meditate on God's word, the more truth we will see in it, and the more direction we will get from it. Unless we receive from Him, we have no idea where we're going. To get the direction, we have to know the truth. We have to see the truth. To see the truth, we have to read His word. And a lot of people say, I don't know what God wants. Did you ask God through the Bible? And they say, no. And I say, no wonder. Second application, in following the Lord Jesus, we must be led by the Spirit of the living God, not be driven by our own selfish and impulse ambition. Third application, it is decision of faith based on the evidence provided by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and witness of church. Sinner who delayed is in danger of losing opportunity to belong to God's family and live in heaven. If you're playing game with God, if you're thinking that I have a lot of time, you may not. But stand up and pray.